SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Enough! Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Friday, race fans. Sirius 219 XM 201, Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website, stevebick.com as well. The weekend upon us, and Arlington Million, obviously, the major focus. One of the great race days, really, in the country, year after year, since its inception. And given the dramatic history of the Arlington Million, a day that Chicagoans can at least enjoy some of the glory that Arlington and Chicagoland racing has really been a part of for forever. And the struggles in Illinois are palpable, and the future uncertain. But when Arlington Million rolls around, it's tough to celebrate and ignore, and how important Chicago's been to racing. Last night, actually, had a wonderful dinner. Tina and I, the guests of Mike Abinanti and the crew from Chicago. Second year that we've had this get together, and just so much fun. I can't thank them enough. And that there are a couple of absent friends, actually, that were on everybody's mind. But a really special evening. And earlier in the evening, actually, Mrs. Steinman with her lovely cocktail evening. She's got actually a couple of runners on the flat today, as it happens, Peg Steinman. So like to see her get a win. But the Chicago conversation was very much part of last night's activity, and we'll make it part of today. We're going to have visits from Marty McGee and Marcus Hirsch, who were, of course, right there on site. Ed DeRosa, too. Ed's in Chicago, and certainly he'll be focused. James Scully will be by. Scully will do more than just Chicago. He's also going to look at, I'm sure he'll have a Saratoga opinion or two, as well as thoughts on the two stakes at Ellis on Sunday, and it's Groupie Doll weekend at the Pea Patch. And in addition to the Grade 3, the only graded stake of the meet at Ellis, the former Gardenia, very nicely and appropriately named for Buff Bradley's wonderful, and I suppose I have to include Mandy Pope, because she owns her now. But Groupie Doll, and they got a great field. They got a terrific field of 11 for the $100,000 one-mile Grade 3. And they also have the first running of the Ellis Park Derby. And good for them. 1 mile and a group of 12. It's just $75,000, but it's a great way to start if they're going to try to build toward a a summer three-year-old male event. The Groupie Doll, of course, is for three and ups, but this is a good idea. The Ellis Park Derby, and with the assumption that there'll be an uptick, continued uptick in purse monies at Ellis, maybe they can work toward a nice sophomore derby opportunity. Why not, right? So we'll talk to Scully. Nick Tamaro's in town. Nick getting ready, as was Mike and the guys, for the contest today and tomorrow. 2 one-day events here at Saratoga. And they'll be upstairs around the Easygoer, the restaurant formerly known as the Upper Carousel. And looking forward to seeing everybody. This is always a fun couple of days because you get contest players from all around the country. They've made this their Saratoga weekend. Hammer had a Saratoga week, sort of. He got in late in the weekend and stayed through Wednesday. Actually, left yesterday, left Thursday. So Hammer is at Del Mar. We'll talk to him. Find out what went on in the Graded Stakes Committee meeting. They have their regular get-togethers. Saw Ben Huffman a couple of times as well in town for the meeting. And we'll see what Hammer's got. And we'll have a couple of other late morning visits as well that we'll keep in the vest pocket, although I'm not wearing a vest. Let's catch up on yesterday before we launch into the weekend. And as we do that, actually, I want to mention a few other venues that have got some notable action as well this weekend. I didn't want to skip this. At Prairie Meadows, they've got a heavy state bred action slate, the Iowa Breeders Derby and Oaks, the Cradle and the Sorority for the babies, the Iowa Breds, and there's also the Donna Reed and the Dan Johnson and the Governor Branstad. So a nice slate there. And on Sunday, and good chance we're going to have a visit, even though John White picked it up on Tuesday and talked about the Long Acres Mile, but the Long Acres Mile on Sunday, don't forget, and the Emerald Distaff. They've also got the Shinpak as well for the two-year-olds. Emerald's big summer date, and a couple of stakes both days at Woodbine, the Seagram and the Wonderware on Sunday. Tomorrow, the Flaming Page and Duchess. So all kinds of action. The Honey Jay at Thistledown, notable as well. And how about a tip of the cap to Arapaho, the Gold Rush Futurity. Slip that in. And the Arapaho Park Classic. Don't want to forget some of the little hard-trying ovals around the country. Del Mar, we'll get to, obviously. And hoping to catch up with Quigley as well today. But the Rancho Bernardo came up kind of interesting on Sunday. Best Pal, the two-year-olds, all winners, headlined by Instagram. Quite good. And, of course, here at Saratoga, we've got no shortage of action, including the rescheduled Wyah and Lure, which enhance the two cards. We've got the two-year-olds, the Adirondack and the Saratoga Special Saturday, Sunday, and the four-star day. In fact, I put up the first half of the card selections already with a picture of Angel on four-star Dave himself, the Sultan of Saratoga. Back to some recapping from yesterday, and actually I'll start at Del Mar because we talked about that high five carryover. Well, Palladium was the winner yet to key off of Keith DeSormo with Gonzalez, and then there were a couple of prices. There was Salah, the first-time starter for Owen Hardy, and there was who was second and unplayable, who you had to use for Mike Makowski. They were 11 and 13 to 1. They boosted things to go with the other three favorites. So you needed the top three favorites and then a couple of longer prices. And the money poured in. I mean, they brought in over $300,000 to go with the carryover. And those that got through this, if you pulled this together, the high five, $3,894, which really feels like keying off the favorite, off the 5-2 favorite. If you went somehow you got to put money in to when it comes to the high five. It's an acquired taste for players. Saratoga. And we'll get to the, maybe we'll bring it up with Nick Tamaro later. The long running reminders that off the turf racing has a dynamic that allows you these days, in fact, Nick and I exchanged comments on this, that allows you in some cases to get the best value that's around. And that was on display yesterday in the first leg of the pick six carryover and then in the nightcap. There were two win mutuals that were preposterous, just inexplicable. Starting with Mamo, Ray Handel sends out Mamo. This is off the turf, and somehow a horse that was so overwhelmingly obvious and in terms of the main track, a horse that I saw Andy said should have been 4-5 was 4-1. Paid $10. That was literally money found in the street. And Andy reminds everybody, every time you get these off-the-turf opportunities, the races are being bet very frequently as if they're still on turf. And you know, there were seven horses that still made up this field once the MTOs were entered in. It was crazy. It was an absolute gift to start the pick six. Everything else now for a while remains very formful. Potomac, you know, who I didn't think, I think I wrote, didn't have to win, but won and won easily. And, you know, made you feel like you were stupid for not singling him. But so be it. The Rapoli-Levine drop wins at 3-2. Ticonderoga, you could single. I did, certainly, and wins at 1-2 and, you know, wins well and easily. Pink Twist, also even money. So you know, the parade of short-priced winners through the middle part of the pick six sequence. Goodbye Broccoli, who, you know, was one of the ones had to be used in the Stallion Series, and certainly Phil Serpy remains hot. Serpy's horse is running great, and he wins that was a narrow photograph. And actually, if we get the monies, the Maya Engelhart, if he wins that photograph, I come away with nothing, really, because I didn't have him well-positioned on tickets at all, if at all. And then came the nightcap, and very pleased for any time Finger Lakes shippers come to Saratoga and win, you got to feel good. And I put Mama White Sox on top in here, and I couldn't believe 7-1 was just remarkable. And you know, I know Joe Sharp is sending out, you know, horses you know, that are live and is having a great meet. I think what, six wins in a handful of starters. In fact, here was 5-11 coming in, but you had to see that Mama Mary wanted to be on the turf. It goes off at under even money. This is the perfect example. The absolute perfect example. Mama White Sox, even coming from Finger Lakes, was the horse that figured to be, you know, on or near, as it happens, you know, basically stalked. Mama Mary was always Dylan Davis with a terrific ride. And wins and pays $1,560. That was the on either end of the pick six, phenomenal. The best value, some of the best value actually that you've seen, period. And I don't know, maybe the computer modules don't have a good algorithm for this scenario. And maybe because the public continues to bet as if the race was being run on turf, maybe that skews the way the computer responds. But to get 7-1 almost on that horse, it was unbelievable. And, you know, it was a very chalky pick six and pick five and pick four. But actually, you know, I put out the All-A ticket that was, you know, very small, $18 play, and got back just under 100. So I thought it was fun, and I know I love. By the way, go ahead on Twitter. There's a couple of people that take this discussion as if I'm out there rooting for races to come off the turf. As we said yesterday, the game gets played outdoors, and so you adjust to the circumstances. And those circumstances, they offered in yesterday and on a regular basis a chance for you to make money. And that's why we're all here. So keep spewing your stupidity on Twitter. The action at Monmouth. Quick look at the three jump races we talked to Bill Gallo about. They were really fun, and was watching at Monmouth the first, the third, and the fifth. And how about Kate Dalton going down to Monmouth and breaking two maidens? Dancing in the Rain was absolutely dominant, winning the first. Belisarius for Gary Barber. Is this the new African Oil? Belisarius was a little overdue, had been knocking on the door, hit the board three different times, was actually in the race with Boss Man when Boss Man, Arch Kingsley's. Yeah. Wins well. So two maiden breakers for Kate and Bernie Dalton. Mrs. Lazenby getting the first winner, that Dancing in the Rain. And this was a homebred of hers by Get Stormy. And Gary Barber with his familiar partners, Brouse and Wachtel. And then, in the allowance, an absolute thriller. If you didn't see the fifth race, it may have been the best race. I suppose the Statue of Liberty stake here was as thrilling and as close at the finish. But Swelligan for Neil Morris. And Tom Hulfish, the third. A pure prize gelding, the six-year-old. That was just absolutely thrilling. Wild Dynaformer, Bernie Dalton for Kent Sweezy, was leading most of the way and ran a great race. Ended up third. But Swelligan and Cheers to Us, they hooked up. And it was unbelievable. Ding-donging to the wire. And Swelligan, as the favorite, gets the decision. This Michael Mitchell is good. He's very, very, very good. Speaking of very good, that was fun. How about Rich Ang and Dick Powell yesterday? Dicky last night, those two Presque Isle pushes, they both win. Sources and Methods wins the opener. Third choice, paid $720. And then the nightcap, Global Warm Me. And that one paid $840. That's kind of a... There were five horses that were within like a dollar of each other. 3-1, 7-2, 7-2, 5-1, 4-1. And Global Warming. Good job with my man, Sweet Willie Martinez. Love Willie. Good job, Dick. And then, if you didn't see my retweet, Davey in the UK bankrupted a bookie using Rich Ang. He took Rich Ang's Surface Strike, the off-the-turf race. Rich basically with a Joe Namath guarantee. And somehow, here at Saratoga, horse paid $310, one to two. In the UK, Davey got a bookmaker to give him 4-1. It was so great. And he sent out a big thank you to Rich. Good job, Rich and Dick. We'll try to make you rich this weekend with Marty McGee, who joins us next. James Scully, Nick Tamaro, Marcus Hirsch, Ed DeRosa, Hammer, Quigley, and more. At the Races weekend preview. It's a beautiful day, upstate New York. Get in the car. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Enjoy Daily Racing Form's best value with a multi-track PP pack. Get 5 full-card PPs featuring the day's best racing for only $6. Each DRF multi-track PP pack features full-card DRF pass performances for the top tracks you want to play. Handicapping articles and analysis, closer looks for key tracks, and selections by DRF handicappers. Daily packs and longer plans for all budgets are available. Download full-card PPs for 5 of today's top tracks. Visit DRF.com/multi-track today.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Your barn is successful. Your program is tried and true. However, there are a few horses that aren't responding in the way you'd like. Does this sound familiar? Well, let Biomedical Research Labs help change that. Our clinically proven products will help your equine athletes become their very best. I guarantee it. This is Joseph Vellante. To learn more, contact me at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. RaceLens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats RaceLens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/RaceLens.
What's that? Yeah.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
I bought a big hand now.
Wait a minute.
Groovy, groovy, jazzy, funky, pounce, bounce, dance as we dip in the melodic sea. Rhythm keeps flowing and trips to MC. Sweet sugar pop, rocks pop. You don't stop till the sweet beat drops. I shall improve as I stick and move. Vivid poems recited on top of the groove. Smooth mind, floating like a butterfly. Notes set afloat, sung like a lullaby. Brace yourself as the beat hits ya. Dip, trip, flip, fantasia.
Well, a little cantaloupe to start out the weekend preview. Always fun, and always fun to check in with Marty McGee, Million Dollar Marty McGee. Good morning.
Dick.
Mart, back in Chicagoland.
Yeah, you know, my first million was 25 years ago. I was thinking about this, and it was the year, 1993, it was the year that Lure was supposed to run against Star Cozine, and it rained like you've never seen it here, and Lure had to scratch. Star Cozine stayed in, and he won, and he was 4-5 and for Barry Irwin and Mark Hennig. And, yeah, that was my first million. I've only missed one of them since then, you know, not counting 98 and 99. You know, I can't tell, Steve, if it's because I'm older that it doesn't seem like there's much enthusiasm as there used to be or as much hype or whatever. But it, you know, this race is not one of the victims of the Breeders' Cup the way so many of these, you know, second half races have become, like the GC International and you know, things like that. So I just, you know, maybe I'm too close to it to really know what's going on with it, but I'm just wondering what your perspective might be in terms of the million vis-a-vis national and international prestige.
Well, I think
prestige-wise and build-up, I mean, there's still strong interest. I think the problem is just that Chicago Racing is in such a tough spot that there's no momentum that leads up. You know, it's become a bit, you know, of a standalone. You know, the Chicago's one big day, and it's just incredibly unfortunate. We have this discussion every time I see anybody. Last night was with a group from Chicago, and everybody has the same thing to say. They go, and it's very depressing, and I don't know. You know, we don't know what the future holds.
Difficult. I mean, you go through the parking lot here. Mr. Duchossois is 96 now, and they say he comes to work on a regular basis, doesn't get around as well as he used to. But there are things happening here. You go through the parking lot, for instance. It's a massive parking lot, as you can imagine, and there's potholes, and it hasn't been repaved in years, evidently. There's overgrowth on the backside. It's just not as pristine as it used to be. And I don't know if that's a function of, the whole thing as to how down the racing product is, et cetera. But I got a bad feeling about it.
There's no doubt. And when you talk about the condition of the backstretch, and that's a perfect example. In fact, it came up last night with our group, and I can think back to the last several summers at Monmouth, where it used to be, as you said, pristine there, and the financial pressure, that's the first place where you notice some fraying at the edges. And it's very tough, Mark.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I remember walking over in 94. I used to live right catty corner in the top Jimmy D's, the little bar that's there on Northwest Highway and I guess it's Wilkie. And, walking over and thinking, man, this is great. That was the year that Paradise Creek won under a tremendous ride by Pat. You know, the Million itself, if you go back and YouTube some of the Millions, like when Manila won and Paradise Creek and Estrapod, some of the one that Gary Stevens in 91, I'm trying to, Wings of Eagles, or what was the horse that won the Breeders' Cup in 91? Anyway, it was a ride that Gary Stevens put on for Charlie Whittingham. Just phenomenal. And, the old Phil George F. calls up, here they come spinning out of the turn, teleprompter. it gives you goosebumps. And now, this is what I'm trying to say. I'm just not getting that same vibe that those things used to give you.
Well, it's certainly a fun field. And the rest of the day, the rest of the card, dynamite, and the Bev D and the Secretariat. And then I said last night, I think there's 26 horses in the pucker up. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's a great sequence. I mean, the first seven are pretty much, the way, as you said, Chicago Racing has become. But the races 8 through 12, this pick five is really interesting. And, I don't know, are you going to have Marcus Hirsch on after?
Yes.
Later on? Yeah, okay.
Yes.
I don't want to steal his thunder, but he had a great lead to his advance on it. He said that the weather forecast for Saturday is for sunshine, and the racing forecast is for a brownout. Because I really think that Chad Brown could, probably be favored to sweep all three of these grade ones.
That can happen, and certainly the recent history, the Bev D in particular, has been a target, and this is no exception. Let's get a couple of opinions, Mart. Start with the Secretariat.
Well, I think Analyze It will not be 2-1. I think he'll be closer to even money. I don't know if or anybody knows what's in Analyze It's head in terms of why he surrendered both those times incredibly to Catholic Boy. I mean, maybe the fact that Catholic Boy is not in this race will help him, but it sure seems like pace-wise and class-wise and in a lot of ways things are in his favor. It is a big field, a field of 13 in the Secretariat, but, you know, again, I think close to even money on Analyze It. I'm going to have to make him one of my singles in my sequences. I think that the two that have the best chance to pull the upset over him are both of the O'Brien horses drawn to the outside, Lucius Tiberius and Hunting Horn. I think those are the two, and with the upset chances, Lucius Tiberius perhaps more interesting at a price, getting first-time Lasix.
Well, and that is the subplot is going to be the, you know, the European invaders that all the time make these races that much more interesting. And, you know, Hunting Horn as well, who, you know, was here for the Belmont Derby and comes back. Ryan Moore on that front. And there is, you know, there is the others. The Bandua, been campaigning in Europe for Calumet with Dermot Weld. Platinum Warrior shows up from the Curra. And Ming, Joseph O'Brien, comes marauding.
You know, Steve, they're not sending their first stringers here, and that therein lies the problem in terms of these horses being to you know, being able to upset the top notch American horses. So a lot of these horses you just mentioned, Ming, he has never, you know, he ran one time in a group race. It was a Group Three. Bandua ran one time in a Group One. He was nowhere, and this other horse, Platinum Warrior, he is a Group 3 winner, two back at the Curra, and does get Rosario. By the way, all those guys are flying in. They're kind of close as far as I can tell. They're leaving around 11 o'clock Saturday morning Eastern out of Saratoga. There's six or seven jocks, I think, and Chad are all on the same flight, and they're supposed to get here around noon Central, about a two-hour flight. And so, you know, again, the stakes, though, they don't start till what? 4:08.
4:08 is the Bruce.
Yeah, I guess they're not. Yeah, I guess they had to let Chad get all his training done first before they could all get on a plane.
Well, there is one note regarding the jocks that should be included. You know, Johnny V has got a bit of a filling in the ankle, and he's been off his mounts the last 2 days. We'll see if he rides today, and I think he'll probably try. But Johnny, you know, Johnny's got a bit of a little concern, I would say. So,
is it the same kind of filling that Justify has? You know?
It might be, but it's not gonna force Johnny into the breeding shed. I think his breeding shed days are over. Let's turn to the Beverly D, and happened to be again with the people from Chicago last night, and it included one couple that's tied to Daddy's Little Darling and the Normandy Farm people. And you know, she's been wonderful. 1.3 million. Sister Charlie in here for Peter Brandt, who has come back to the game in a big way. You've got Nacho Correas with the Argentinian mare that really has done very little wrong, and he brings her back in here. And then you got Athena showing up out of the smashing Belmont Oaks win, and the Bev D came up great.
You know, I've really gone in depth analyzing this race, Steve, and it just seems like Chad will send his two longer shots, Deus and Inflexibility, out and try and set the table for, you know, one of his other two. He's got them surrounded. Let's face it. You know, Sister Charlie will come charging the way she did it in the Jenny Wiley, and Four Star Crook, as we all know, comes from left field and really turns it on late. And I know that Nacho terribly wants to win this race. He feels like this mare is better than some of her results have been, you know, especially the two races at Keeneland, Donna Bruja, and he's really tightened the screws on her. He's had conferences with Jose Valdivia, who, of course, is the dominant jockey here the last few years. He wants her to get covered up. She will not be on the lead, he insists, as she was in the Jenny Wiley, even though she's going to be fresh off a four-month layoff. I've got to race down, Steve, to the three and the four. Sister Charlie, who just really seems like she's a superior animal. And then Donna Bruja, who I think is really going to run her race with Valdivia. So I've got to make it a 3-4 or 4-3 with my French contenders being Daddy's Little Darling. Can't take anything away from her. A four-star crook who has to be coming on late. And then Athena, to me, is just kind of the unknown entity, having defeated three-year-olds. She's trying to be just the second three-year-old filly to win this race in its 29-year history. But, again, 3 and 4 for me in the Beverly D.
Well, they will be selling New York breds tomorrow and Sunday night. And four-star crook, $1.2 million. Unbelievable. Just an unbelievable success story that mare that has continued to improve as she's aged. And I think the only other one I would fold into that analysis is Daddy's Little Darling, who's going to save all the ground and should, you know, seems like she's a fit in here. I've doubted her at times in the past, and I probably have been wrong more often about her than not. You know, even though, what, 5 wins and 19 starts, but she is. This is her big farewell. So I would expect that McPeak has got her as tuned up as possible. So I'm going to use Daddy's Little Darling in addition to the ones you've brought up. Let's go to the million and talk about this nice group. Got some international travelers and Oscar Performance, who drew poorly.
Well, you know, they got a long run down the home stretch the first time. I don't know if the draw is necessarily going to come into play. It's only going to be a field of 10 at the most. We're going to have Divisadero is going to scratch and stay there in New York. Marcus and I were talking yesterday, and he posed the rhetorical question, when's the last time the poker winner was favored in the Arlington Million? And, you know, I think the obvious answer is probably never. I don't know if this horse necessarily wants the mile and a quarter against this top company. I'm going to have to go against him. You know, again, I'm coming back to the Chad factor. I think both Almanar and the other horse, Robert Bruce, I think they're the two horses to beat in here. He does also have Money Multiplier. I don't know if he's quite the same caliber as these other two, but I think Chad's in line for a sweep, I think, by the time they run this race.
Well, I think you got to talk about DeVille, obviously, and Simon Crisford shows up with Century Dream and Bill Buick, but what's wrong with DeVille in this spot?
Well, I mean, he was a beaten favorite in this race last year, and after that, Steve, he really didn't go on. And if you look at his last race, which was last month, and actually just about three and a half weeks ago in Ireland, it looks like he rebounded off a poor effort in a Group One, which was at the Royal Ascot meet, when he was second, beating the neck in a Group Three. But then you look and there was only a field of four. So, you know, I don't know if he's as good as he was cut out to be when he came here last year. So, you know, I'm against him. I'm against Money Multiplier, and I'm against Oscar Performance just on the fact that I don't know if he, off the mile race in the poker, if he wants to go this mile and a quarter.
Well, even if all of the favorites were among the obvious players came through in the big three grade ones that lead up to the nightcap, you still have to negotiate the pucker up with 13 of them. And you could find yourself confounded at this point.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I wrote this race in a vacuum would be a good race by itself, but this is the final leg in the pick four and the pick five. We've got guaranteed pools of 150 in the pick five, which runs races 8 through 12, and a guaranteed pool of 300,000 in the pick four, which runs races 9 through 12. And this being race 12 in the finale, a lot of people are going to have a lot of interest in it. I've got it narrowed down to three horses. The horse of the filly of Kevin Attard's in from Canada, A.A. Azula's Arch, a fairly long shot here, Secret Message for Grand Motion, who really didn't get to run her race on that night card at Churchill on the Stephen Foster undercard. She kind of got left and really had no chance to run a race in a big, bulky field. She does have Irad Ortiz, which means she probably will not be 12-1 on a morning line. I'm thinking more like 6-1, maybe half of that. And then on the outside, it was just such a powerful race for Beyond Blame and her winning that the Regret talked to Brad Cox about her. Says she's trained on real well since then. So 6, 10, and 13 are my multi-enders in the pucker up tomorrow.
I absolutely agree with Secret Message and with Beyond Blame. And there was one other that I thought was sneaky in here.
Yeah, you know, they got Cosmic Burst as a second choice, but she's never run on the grass. I think he'll be higher. You know, I don't know why he would have made her so low. Dickinson has one right next to her, Pamina, with Jose Ortiz, that comes off a Belmont allowance win. She might be okay, especially at this mile and an eighth distance. So, you know, way, way, way wide open race.
The horse that looked progressive to me at a price was Stephen Sandy's horse, In the Mood.
Wow. 30-1 on the morning line.
That's going to be on or near. And it may very well be the horse to catch late. One of those horses that when they turn for home, you say to yourself, oh my God. this horse might wire, but I'm going to certainly use defensively, and it looks like the type that has a chance to, you know, kind of a reverse tri-key horse that lights up your deep exotics.
There you go. By the way, Bick, congratulations on your nomination for the Jim McKay Award, as given out by nominated by the board of directors of the National Turf Writers and Broadcasters Association.
Well, thank you very much, Mark, and congratulations to you. You after years of refusing to accept the nomination, graciously accepted the opportunity.
Well, they kind of made me, but anyway.
I love it. Well, it's an honor to be mentioned, to be included.
Absolutely.
Very much. Well, Mart, weather is going to be good. I haven't even looked.
Yeah. It's supposed to be a mid to high 80s, but nice, not too humid. We had a real heavy rain here. I got here Tuesday afternoon. It started raining like crazy. I think they got 2 inches. So they took the races off the grass yesterday. I imagine they'll be on today. We had a little bit more last night, but not nearly as much. And no more, I believe, in the forecast. So it'll be, I would guess, though, that the ground will be firm, a little good to firm, I would guess, in that neighborhood.
Excellent. Now, there'll be a big crowd and always a great day. And doesn't matter where what the future is. The future is tomorrow for now, and enjoy it, Mart, and we appreciate the visit.
Well put, Beck. Thank you.
Marty McGee, DRF McGee. Let's take a break. We'll come back with James Scully.
Get some opinions from James. Then Nick Tamaro, Marcus Hirsch, Ed DeRosa. So plenty more conversation about Arlington Million Day and more opinions. Nick will give us plenty of Saratoga. Looks like a nice weekend, including the 2-year-olds. the middle portion of the meet. We start with the grade threes, then we have these two grade twos, and then we go to the grade ones, closing weekend with the hopeful and the spin away. Let's spin away for a break and come right back.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Join us at Presque Isle Downs for our two biggest days of racing. Sunday, September 16th, the $200,000 Presque Isle Mile. Monday, September 17th, the Grade Two $400,000 Presque Isle Masters. North America's top filly and mare sprinters compete in the Premier Breeders' Cup Prep Race. Free Presque Isle Masters hats for the first 1,000 fans. Free T-shirts each night for the first 500 fans. September 16th and 17th, Presque Isle Downs, Erie, Pennsylvania. For more, go to PresqueIsleDowns.com.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then BridgeNet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. The BridgeNet.com Performance Plan offers unlimited PDF past performances for just $75 per month and is available at BridgeNet.com/PP. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips, plus sire stats, for only $275 per year, and is available at BridgeNet.com/APR. The BridgeNet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is just $125 per month. Visit BridgeNet.com for all this information and more, and discover why BridgeNet.com is the handicapper's edge.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Talking away. I don't know what's left to say. I'll say it anyway. Today is not my day. It's about you shying away. I'll become a real life change. Take on me. Take me on. I'll be gone.
Well, we want to get some takes from James Scully on another big summer weekend, this one Arlington Million and Groupie Doll Day Sunday at Ellis Park. Plenty of action at Saratoga and Del Mar. And, of course, the first order of business is to thank Scully for the push last week. He was all over Mr. Freeze and a number of players, including our friend Peter Dressens, James, contest player. He liked Mr. Freeze. He loved the fact that you emphatically were aboard as well, and he got himself another NHC seat as a result. So he sent me a nice note that I should have forwarded to you. So well done.
All right. Well, thanks, Steve. Good morning to you. And yeah, I mean, Mr. Freeze, I couldn't believe we got 6-1 on him as well. And that was his fourth start. He improved upon his stakes debut in that Indiana Derby. Didn't make his debut till mid-April. And the comments from both Dale Romans and Robbie Alvarado after the race were like, yeah, you know, I mean, big race today, but he's going to be so much better, you know, going forward. And it was. It was he got a 107 number from us, which is going to be, you know, which is huge for this the three-year-old left, and his speed is potentially dangerous in the Travers.
Well, it certainly adds another, you know, another layer to an already nice group. So, Mr. Freeze, good job. See if we can't do some more of this. And I suppose as we pull into some opinion making, James, some other thoughts from the week? Anything else that that caught your eye, whether it was here at Saratoga, the Whitney, the test, etc., plus Del Mar had the two-year-old action and River Boyne, Cambodia. What did you do last week last week?
Yeah, I mean, it was unfortunate with that weather before the Whitney, but, I mean, just a big race from Diversify in that spot. And, you know, the interesting thing with him as well to me is I look at that division and, you know, there's just – it's going to be interesting to see how it shakes out going forward for the Classic. It's still, like, really up in the air a little bit. The test, the three-year-old fillies are coming on, the long-distance horses, and the sprinters are fantastic as well. That was a really exciting race, and it's a salty group. And so looking forward to some upcoming battles there.
Well, let's dive in. Give us some opinions. Take us wherever you'd like.
All right, well, I'll just start at Arlington. You know, I'm a little bit in the Secretariat. I'm taking a spread approach in that race to, like, pick fours, pick fives. But, you know, I'm not too keen on analyzing it. So my main pick, my top pick in there is Platinum Warrior. A sharp winner last year in the juvenile final. Came back with a clunker, but really turned in, I thought, a pair of solid efforts at the mile and a quarter distance before going into that Irish Derby. That's an experience that could help him. And Galileo Colt, Marty McGee had said before, gets Joel Rosario. He's 10-1 on the morning line. Very intriguing to me. In the Beverly D, I've gone back and watched those races last. When Sister Charlie won the Jenny Wiley, I was blown away. I thought she was really could be the best turf distaffer in the Brown Barn. But I'm a little worried if she's sharp enough presently because she's just been just, I mean, John Blasquez has been life and death just to get her going. And, you know, to me, she was just barely beat Ultra Brad. And the best horse in that Diana by far was a Raving Beauty. She would have won that race if she had a clean trip. So I like Donna Bruja for, you know, I know she likes Arlington. I know she's going well presently. There is a potential, you know, she's on the front end. She'd be catching pressure. So I'm just like a two deep approach in that race with Donna Bruja and Four Star Crook. I'll use that late runner from the Brown Barn. She's extremely dangerous.
All right.
And then in the Arlington Million, you know, Oscar Performance ran a big race in the Breeders' Cup turf last year, Steve. He got beat a nose for second. He's 2-for-2 at a mile and a quarter. And I just don't understand people questioning his aptitude for the distance. To me, 10 furlongs sits him right between the eyes. And I love that effort in the poker. I think he's a threat to, you know, run another huge race back for Lynch. And he's, you know, the favorite. But I'm taking a stand. I'm going to single him on one ticket. If I'm saving with anybody in there, it's Robert Bruce, who still has a nice potential upside. And the same could be said about Century Dream. He's a progressive type that could continue to move forward. So those are the two main threats, but I love Oscar Performance of the Million.
Did you get a chance to do the pucker up? Because it's
I did, and
it's tough.
Let me just say, Steve, I've been a little bit excited to get to that. You know, in that Here Comes the Bride last year, in March, Princess Warrior had a really a rough trip. She was stuck inside with, you know, nowhere to go. You know, she had to swing out and to run a closing fourth, I thought, really, put her in my scanner to the way I am. Every time my scanner came in, it was for dirt races. McPeak got her back on the turf last time. I thought that was a confidence-building win in that Ellis Park allowance. I think she's got big-time potential. I mean, she's a classy filly to begin with, and I think she's really a threat to take to the grass. I like Princess Warrior in the pucker-up.
Look at you. And I actually, with Marty McGee just now, suggested that
another 30 to 1. There's three 30 to 1s. And I thought In the Mood was worth using somewhere. And you've got 30 to 1 Princess Warrior. Who else needs to be on that ticket to close out the sequence?
Well, definitely, you know, Beyond Blame. I mean, you've got just, Brett Cox just tearing it up everywhere. And I really thought that was a nice effort in that regret. She won much the best after, a poor beginning. And, I respected the sixth, A.A. Azula's Arch. I mean, what a good turf debut that was. Get Stormy, good winner there. So, you know, I had them as the two main principals.
Yeah, and Mark, also with A.A. Azula's Arch for Kevin Attard. Nice. Where else are we going?
Oh, well, I'll just mention it's Saratoga real quick. The four-star Dave, I really thought Yoshida gets the prime setup in there. You know, he's the horse I'd lean on in there because, you know, Voodoo Song to me is just super sharp right now, Steve, and he has the speed to really keep heart-to-heart company. And, so I like him in there. And I mentioned last week that I would – I'm not going to leave Mr. Cub off my late pick four and pick five tickets. And the same stands, he's in post four with the main track only in that lure. So I think he's got the potential for a good trip, and I like his improving form in Wilkes.
Nice. Nice.
And then
good
at
job.
Ellis Park on Sunday, real quick, Steve, they run their loan graded race of the year, the Groupie Doll, the mile, $100,000 stake. And they got a big field. They got 11 horses in there. The horse to beat is Pinch Hit for the Cox stable. You know, he's got almost twice as many wins as any other trainer in Ellis. And she comes off a nice win at Indiana Grand and the Marie Holman George. But I'm going to give the edge to Torrent. That Ron Moquette stable has been starting to heat up with three wins there at Ellis, nine in the money finishes, got a good winner at Saratoga this meet. And that filly last time, it was a short field in that race, and she didn't have the best trip on the inside. She offered a threatening move before flattening out a little bit late. I'm looking for improvement the second start off the freshening. And I think the mile distance is a perfect fit for that Blame filly. So I'm going to give the edge to Torrance in the Groupie Doll.
Excellent. Excellent. Meat's been very good at Ellis. This week I tried to catch up with everything going on there. And you got to keep track of the maidens, of course. That's been a storyline. We've banged that drum for a while. Lots of terrific racing this weekend again. You mentioned Moquette. He was here for the sale, and he's got a very live chance today at Saratoga. Does Ron Moquette with Treble in the third race, that rich conditional allowance. So nice. James, good luck this weekend. Thanks as always.
All right. Thank you, Steve. Good luck to you.
James Scully, everybody. James_Scully111 on Twitter. And, of course, the Twin Spires blog roll. And he'll have, I'm sure, that Arlington Million write-up, the pick four write-up for you if you go to Twin Spires. Let's take top of the hour timeout. We're shockingly keeping the train on the rails here after an hour. Nick Tamaro is at Saratoga. And, of course, we mentioned on Wednesday, Pete Fornatale and Jonathan Kinchin with the Horse Players Tour TV show special, the unveiling, the unspooling. I'll send the link out again if you haven't had a chance to watch it. It was just a triumph, very well received, and it was quite something, actually, to have Nick up there on the big screen. We'll talk to him about it and about the contest this weekend and being out in Del Mar last week. See what else is on Nick's mind, and then we'll go into the Saturday card, which does include three maiden specials amongst the action, and then the extra stake race, the bonus that we get with the lure, as well as the four-star Dave and the babies in the Adirondack six-pack goes early on the card, part of the pick five. Back after this, Nick Tamaro, hour two, weekend preview at the races.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Enjoy Daily Racing Form's best value with a multi-track PP pack.
Get five full-card PPs featuring the day's best racing for only $6. Each DRF multi-track PP pack features full-card DRF pass performances for the top tracks you want to play. Handicapping articles and analysis, closer looks for key tracks, and selections by DRF handicappers. Daily packs and longer plans for all budgets are available. Download full-card PPs for five of today's top tracks. Visit DRF.com/multi-track today.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Your barn is successful. Your program is tried and true. However, there are a few horses that aren't responding in the way you'd like. Does this sound familiar? Well, let Biomedical Research Labs help change that. Our clinically proven products will help your equine athletes become their very best. I guarantee it. This is Joseph Vellante. To learn more, contact me at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. RaceLens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats RaceLens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/racelens.